The Dinim of Yerusha is spelled out in Chumash, and he had a Chumash Bamidbar, and they run as follows. The man dies and he leaves sons and daughters, so the sons get the Yerusha. Even if the sons are no longer alive, their descendants get the Yerusha as opposed to the daughters. And even if their descendants are female, let's say the daughter of the son, they're called Yerusha, even in the presence of actual daughters. The Gemara in Baba Basra records that the Tzedukim had a taina against the Chachamim, that that's not fair. Tirosh Shabbat in Bat Habein, there was a man died and he leaves a daughter, and his son left daughters. The man who died had a son who already died, who left daughters. So the granddaughters get the whole Yerusha, and the granddaughters who are from the son get the whole Yerusha. The man's own daughter doesn't get any Yerusha. So the Tzedukim said that that's not fair. The granddaughters get, and the daughter doesn't get. The Chachamim said, no, that's not halacha, that the son gets the Yerusha, and if the son is not alive, he gives it the kever to his descendants. If his descendants have to be females, he only has daughters, he has no son. So they get the Yerusha, the daughter doesn't get it. Gemara Masech Shabbos records that this was one of the first issues that was brought up by the early Christians against the Chachamim. The Gemara Mekayim is on page 17. The Ragat Shava was asked, is it proper to have the government of any country has the right to establish Dina de Malchut, whatever they think is proper. So, is it proper to have in Eretz Yisrael, the government should establish laws of Yerusha that the sons and the daughters should get Yerusha equally? Either Dina HaTorah is that it's not so, that's the Dina HaTorah. But if you want to have Dina de Malchut, otherwise, you can have whatever you want. But the Ragat Shava says no, that that's improper, that that was one of the early tainus that the Christians had against the Chachamim, that they felt that the Jewish religion didn't treat the women properly. And he quotes from the Gemara in Shabbat, where the early Christians felt that the sons and the daughters should get Yerusha equally. The Gemara Bar Basha quotes that they said at least the daughter should be Yerushan equally with the granddaughter. If the son died, but the man who died left the son, who left daughters, and the granddaughters are yarshining, that the granddaughters get and the daughters don't get. But the Zukim Taina, Tira Shabbat and Bat Habein. So this is all part of their push, that the Jewish faith is not treating the women properly. And he says, we believe that there's nothing wrong with our Torah. That's what it says in the Torah. That, he says it's improper to change the laws of the Torah. We'll get to the details about this in a minute. So what exactly are the Hilchos Yerusha? So again, if a man dies and it leaves sons and daughters, and so the sons get, the daughters don't get. And even if the sons are not alive, his daughters get, and not the daughters. And what if, let's say, the man who died left sons who died already, and that son had sons and daughters? Again, the sons get, the daughters don't get. If the man who died, if the person who died left only daughters, then the daughters get. What if the man who died left no children, no descendants at all? No sons, no daughters, no grandchildren, no direct descendants at all? But then, and only then, the Allah says that his father gets it. He has no father, you don't say that the mother gets, because the only time a person yarshins is the mishpach of Yerushalayim. There's more comments in Yeshnev when only mishpacha sabkuri mishpacha saying, ain't a kuri mishpacha, but two chalashim is a kurva, the chalashim kurva of sher basar, and the chalashim kurva of mishpacha. So the kurva of mishpacha only applies to mishpacha sab. The kurva of sher basar applies both to mishpacha sab and to mishpacha saying. When a person dies and he has no descendants, his father gets the Yerusha. If he has no father, the mother won't get it because he's only related to his mother through the mother. Through his mother. He's not related to the mother through any father. He didn't have a common father. As far as Yerusha is concerned, the mother is a share butter, but she's not mishpacha with him. I'm not in the same mishpacha as my mother. It's a surprising statement. That's Salah Yiddish. I have the mishpacha with my mother. I'm not mishpacha with my mother. I'm only mishpacha with my father. And therefore the mother doesn't get the Yerusha. What happens if the man who died has no descendants and his father is not alive? So then the Torah says that the brothers get. If they're brothers and sisters, the brothers get, the sisters don't get. And even if the brothers are no longer alive, he has sisters and he has nephews. So the nephews get and the sisters don't get. What if he has nephews and nieces? So then the nephews get, the nieces don't get, and so on. In the event that he has no brothers, no descendants left from the brothers, then the sisters get Yerusha, and so on. The Torah gives the whole Arichas HaDvar. It has nothing to do, the Dinim of Yerusha have nothing to do with who is friendlier with the person while he was alive and who helped him out. That's a different thing. Maybe the one who is friendly while he's alive deserves to get. Maybe the other should give the whole Yerusha to this guy who was taking care of. I was taking care of this guy for the last 10 years, and then after he dies, all the Yerusha goes to the other one. They never took care of him. So that's a consideration that they should have in mind. Maybe they should give me the Yerusha, but strictly speaking, who gets the Yerusha? It's absolutely Lamala Lamori, who was taking care of him, and whom he was friendly with, and who invited him to their simchas, and so on. In addition to this standard din of Yerusha, there is another din that's floating around the Habal Yerusha Tishna, that whenever a woman is married, even if she has children from a previous marriage, those marriages are from different marriage from this marriage, Allah says that the husband Yarshin the wife. Unless the wife died after the husband died, if first the husband dies, then the wife dies, so you don't say Habal Yerusha Tishna Bekever, Lahankali Yerusha. That's not. If the wife dies before the husband, then Allah says that the husband Yarshin is the wife, and Yerusha goes to his side of the family. But then, let's say she has children from a previous marriage, and then she gets married at the age of 70 to this man, and then she dies, so Allah says that all of her Yerusha goes to this man, and then after that man dies, another 5-10 years later, so the Yerusha goes to his children, doesn't go back to her children from the first marriage. Is there any way to prevent that from happening? Say, after the couple is married already, they got married at the age of 60, 70, whatever, and then they realize the woman is very wealthy, and she has all this money, why should the money go to this old man? After she dies, why should it go to this old man and then go to his Yerusha? Isn't it only fair that it should go to her Yerusha? So is there any way for her to see to it that the Yerusha goes to her children? After they're married, the Gemara seems to say that it's not possible. It's too late, and even if the husband is Michael, his close to the Yerusha, the Gemara says that it's too late, because either Yodo ki Yodo, Yodo Adichim Yodo. After they're already married, with the Suin, then it's too late. Before they're married at all, let's say they want to make a prenuptial agreement before they even get married. They're talking about getting married. But then they make an agreement that the fellow should not get any Yerusha from the second wife after they're married. So the Achrayim say, the Mishnah Melech quotes in Achrayim, that that's not meaningful at all. The agreement has to be met. That's Mamash Adavish Lavalier. He's engaged to this old lady. The guy's 75 and she's 65. And they're thinking of getting married. And he says, he's Meichel, his sister Yerusha, if or when she should die before him, he's Meichel, the right to Yerusha. So the Mishnah Melech quotes in Achrayim that that's Mamash Adavish Lavalier, and it's not meaningful at all. The Gemara says, what they have to do is make this agreement during the stage of Erisin, before they will be suing. During the stage of Erisin, if the wife should die, the Baal will not yarshin her. Ishtar Arusa, Le'yadin Lov Lavatam Lov Lavayfen Dezereh. While she's in Arusa, the Baal does not yarshin, so we need to ask the suing for that. However, during the stage of Erisin, it's not considered a Dovah Shalom Baal Le'yadin, the Gemara says. During the stage of Erisin, the husband has a kus, that if they'll do nisuin and the wife will die, then the husband will yashin. But since at that stage it's discouraged, the shy for the husband to be merciful, that's good. That's why it says in Gittin, in Kuzin, that HaKaisa V'lishta Goda Arusa, if during the state of Erisin, the husband gives his wife a document or makes an oral declaration that he forgoes his Kuzin to Yerusha, so then that's legitimate. We don't have any such stage of Erisin, because in the days of the Tanakh and the days of the Talmud, you used to have Erisin. Gave a ring and said, have you had any possessions from the Erisin? And then they would wait a couple of months, or sometimes a year, or longer or shorter, whatever, depending on each individual instance. They would wait a while, and then they would have Nisuin. But it was a period of time that was Erisin. And then the Sukkot HaGaon, they did away with that long pause, and they decided to have the Nisuin immediately following the Erisin. Give the ring and say Hariyat, and then they stand under the chuppah right away to start night, and they say the Birchas Nisuin. So there is no period of time that we consider today Erisin. Mamash a minute after the other. So in Eretz Yisrael, what they do, what the Rabbanut does is, if a couple is interested in getting married, such a situation, second marriage, a chuppah d'rami, if they're interested in doing it by the first marriage, they will stay. It's strange. Why should they want to do that? If they're going to get married, they're going to have a family together, so why should the wife want to have such an agreement that the husband should not yashin? Whatever it is, normally it's done by second marriage. The wife has children from the first marriage. But if the wife is interested in having such a prenuptial agreement that the husband should not yarshin her, but he should give her this document before the Erisin, and they should say that this should take effect. Now that his wife has chosen to Yerusha before he's even married to her, it's not effective. It's Mechila and Zavishlov of the Yerlam. But this mechila should take effect during the stage of eretz. The second half will say hariat mukudeshes and give it a ring. Then there'll be eretz for a few seconds until they say the brichas mitzvah. But during those few seconds of time, during those few moments of time, then the mechila will take effect. So the rabbanut and eretz yisrael has such a nusach, has such a shtar that they fill out by a second marriage when the wife is interested in having such a mechila. There is a din in the Torah that the firstborn gets pishnai. The din is that this firstborn is not the same din as the firstborn legavi tigun haben. Tigun haben depends on peterechem, and here it depends on gracious. Oh no, the first child of the husband. Let's say the woman was previously married, she had 10 children from the first husband, and then she married me, and this is my first child. This child is not a peterechem. The 11th child that she had happens to be a boy. That's considered my ratio's only. So that child is going to get Pishnai. You know, as much as the other 10 children are not going to be Yashin for me at all. The other 10 children who are born before him. Whatever children are born after this child, that are Pshutim. What's the din of Pishnai? So the din is that Pishnai doesn't mean that he gets 2/3 of all of the Yerusha. That was the misinterpretation that the conservatives gave in the Pasuk in order to show the Orthodox that they're wrong. But you see, the rabbis are always changing the north of the code. The din originally used to be in Atara that the Kor gets 2/3 of the Yerusha, Tishnai. The Harai that the word Tishnai in biblical Hebrew means 2/3, that when Eliyahu HaNavi was about to die, Elisha requested of him, he would like to have Tishnai in the Ruchacha. What do you mean Tishnai? He would like to have twice the prayer and Gura of Eliyahu HaNavi. That's ridiculous. He just can give me twice the prayer and Gura that you have. No, he just can't give me 2/3 of the prayer and Gura that you have. You see the Seirish from the Pasuk, in the biblical Hebrew, the Pasuk that Tishnai means 2/3. And then you see in the Talmud that they changed the law. The rabbis changed the law. That they said that the Kor doesn't get 2/3 of all the Yerusha. The Kor, if you have 10 children, you consider as if there were 11 children, the Kor gets to 11. They divided Yerusha into 10 portions when there were 10 children and 10 sons. They divide into 11 portions, and the Kor gets to 11. So they said that that was the latest change of the halacha made by the rabbis, because they saw that it's not fair. The Kor didn't get 2/3. Just like you can change the laws over there, so you can allow the Balabatim to drive to Shulman Shabbos, and the Shantan Kakar Kedin and Yom Kippur, the Chumi, the Chumi. Yes, the whole thing is totally incorrect. Where did they get such an idea that originally Tishnai meant that it was a 2/3? The Gemara says that Tishnai means double portion. It doesn't mean 2/3. Double portion. And that's what it means by Elisha also. And Elisha requested of Eliyahu HaNavi that he wants Tishnai to look after. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that he has to twice the Kerach HaNavuah of Eliyahu HaNavi. What did Eliyahu HaNavi say? If you'll see me alive when I go up, if you will see me when I go up in the chariot, the fiery chariot, then you'll get it, and if not, you won't. So if I'm Zalman Margolius, and one of his rushes explains what the Kavanah Tapasik is, as you see from Chumash in Parashat Baalot, that there are two types of Talmidei Hanavim who get Nevuah. It's a very strange concept. If you have a flame, and you take a match, and you light the match from that already existing flame, that's one kind, and then you take a match and you strike it, it's another kind of a flame. The Perah Hanavu is also like that. There's a Rebbe who has Eliyahu HaNavi is a Navi. And then he has Talmidim who are preparing to become Navi. So then when they finally graduate and they give them their degree, they become Navi. And there are two ways for them to become Navi. Either the Navu of Eliyahu HaNavi can rub off on them. In that sense, if it's rubbing off on them, so they cannot exceed the Perah Hanavu that he has. He can't give them more than he has himself. But then sometimes he can train them so well, Perah Hanavu, they can have their independent Navu. The Nebuah is not going to be Nimshach from Eliyahu HaNavi. They'll get their own independent Nebuah. That's what Elisha HaNavi requested of Eliyahu, give me twice the Kerach HaNavuah that you have. Once that twice the Kerach HaNavuah means he wants to be an independent Navi, not that his Nebuah should be Nimshach from Eliyahu HaNavi, the Rebbe, should be independent. It should be independent and greater. So Eliyahu HaNavi tells him, if you will see the way I go up in the fiery chariot to heaven, you will not faint, then obviously you have an independent Kerach HaNavuah. Because the Pasuk says that all the other B'nai Hanavim, all the other Talmidim, fainted, so to speak, and they lost their Kerach HaNavuah after Eliyahu HaNavi went up to heaven, so they couldn't prophesy for a few days. They were looking, searching for Eliyahu HaNavi, they didn't know what happened, they didn't know B'chlal what was going on. The only one who was Yushuv was Elisha HaNavi. Why? Should have been the reverse. He saw the Rebbe go up in heaven. So the answer is because Elisha's Nevuah was independent. He had an independent Kerach HaNavuah, it was like striking a match. The other B'nai HaNavim had the Nevuah from Eliyahu HaNavi. When the source of the Kerach HaNavuah disappears, for those whose Nevuah comes from Eliyahu HaNavi, their Nevuah was weakened. So that's how Rabbi Chaim Zalman HaGolius interprets the Parsha. Elisha requested of Eliyahu HaNavi, I want to be an independent Navi with twice the Kerach HaNavuah that you have. So Eliyahu says, I'll tell you what, I'll be mispawel for you that I'm not the one who's in charge of giving the ruach. If the Baruch Hu gives you an independent Kerach HaNevuah, I am his power that it should give you a greater Kerach HaNevuah than I am. How will you know whether my prayers will be fulfilled or not, whether you will have an independent Kerach HaNevuah or not, if you will faint at the time that I pass on to heaven, like all the other Bnei HaNevim will faint, and that will be a similar dogma. That you who is Agav me, it's Nimshot me, so then you'll never be able to receive my Kerach HaNevuah. But if you will not faint, you will be there at the time that I go up, and you will not faint, then obviously you have an independent Kerach HaNevuah, so he wrote them that you should be greater than mine. And that's the Gemara says what happened exactly, that Elisha Nabi had a greater Kerach HaNevuah than Elio. What sense did he have greater? The Gemara says that Elio Nabi was only Mechayah one mace, and Elisha was Mechayah two mace. So the Reformed position is incorrect. It's not the Reformed, it's the Conservative position. Conservative position is incorrect, number one, because by Elisha Navi Pishtain means twice as much. It doesn't mean two-thirds. And when it says by the Torget Pishtain, it means two shares. It doesn't mean that he gets two-thirds, it means two shares. Secondly, it's incorrect. The Gemara says that although Hefkebez and Hefke, the Chachamim, have the right to alter Dinim, their right in the area of Dinim Omnes, because Hefkebez and Hefke, that doesn't follow logically at all that they can change the Dinim of Shabbos. They can allow you to drive to Shul on Shabbos. When it comes to the area of Yisrael Hezer, the Chachamim are only authorized Mishmatim is Mishmati, Asun Mishmeris is Mishmati, to make a Siyog and to make a Hachoket. But they're not authorized to be Mekel on the Dinim, they're Eisit. The Gemara says sometimes they're authorized to be Mekel to Shei B'Altasim. They tell you not to blow Shoichar on Rosh Hashanah Shchalim B'Shabbos, and not to shake the Lulav, not to do certain mitzvahs of them, not to put on Tzitzis, not to bring a Korban Pesach certain times. That's the Shei B'Altasim. But the Kumbi Yatzei, the Chachamim should allow people to drive to Shul on Shabbos, they should allow people to eat on Yom Kippur, they should allow people to eat trays of food. That's not. On a temporary basis, on a permanent basis, as a taconic for the Doros, the Gemara says explicitly in the whole Sugyan in Yevamah Zaf Teches and Teches and Zaf Tzadik, Gemara says the first. Again, there is a din in the Chumash of Tishnai. Tishnai means that the Kor is treated as if he were two sons and he gets two. Let's say a man has 10 children, 5 sons and 5 daughters. So the daughters don't get, only the sons get. He has 5 sons. Let's say one of the sons happens to be the firstborn, not from the sons, firstborn from all the children. He's only the firstborn from all the sons, then he's out of court. If the first child is a daughter and the next 5 are boys and the next 4 are girls, so the first boy is the second child, doesn't get each night. If the first child born to this father is a boy, then the boy gets each night. Mar has another din also. Kor habo alach and a solom. Yes, Tishnayim, even though there's no Tidyin HaBen. Let's say, the woman had a miscarriage, and then she has a second baby. And the second baby, there's no din of Tidyin HaBen on, because it's not Katerechem. The first one was an Eifah. Unless the miscarriage was before 40 days, the Gemara says before 40 days, so it might be on. But with respect to Tishnayim, the Gemara says there is a din of Tishnayim, because the halacha depends on Kibu Reishis. Oh no. The first child that they'll observe are Beilusan. If the first child died as the first child was a Nathal, even though the second one is a boy and for purposes of Tidyin HaBen, there's no Tidyin HaBen, but for purposes of Tishnayim, the Gemara says, yes. That's next to the last parak in Chorus. The Gemara spells out all of the dinim that we distinguish between Bechor Legabi Tishnayim as opposed to Bechor Legabi Tidyin HaBen. So this din of Bechor Legabi Tishnayim is that the Kor gets not two-thirds of the Yerusha, he gets as if he were two sons. Let's say again, if the man dies and he leaves 10 children, 5 are sons, 5 are daughters, you disregard the fact that there are daughters. The 5 sons are treated as if there are 6 sons, and the Kor gets 2-6. Each one of the other sons gets 1-6. Or whatever the number of children happens to be. This halacha that the Kor gets Tishnayim, is this a din? When the father dies, then the Yerushim have to give the Kor Tishnayim. Or is it no? Is it a responsibility of the father to see to it that the Kor gets Tishnayim? That's the Tshuva that Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan wrote. So the Frankfurter Ruf. There was a Rabbi Frankfurt who was not a Gekin. He was a Hungarian. There was a Machloikis over the Rabbanus in Frankfurt. So they took this rabbi who was a Yunsdorfer. If I'm not mistaken, just Mordechai Horovitz, they took him to be the Rav in Frankfurt. They made more my place, whatever. So he used to correspond with Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan. So he discussed, he wrote, he treated this issue in man is about to die, and he knows his children are not going to follow the laws of the Torah, they're going to follow the Dina Machus, and according to the laws of the land, the firstborn son doesn't get any more Yerusha than anybody else, and they're not going to give the kids to Yigir, they're not going to give them to Yishnaim. This is the father's responsibility to legal will by a lawyer that should be brought up in the secular court so that the court should be secure in getting the Yishnaim. But he's saying, no, those my geshef, that's not my Yisek. After I die, that's my children. My children are not religious. They don't keep Shabbat, they don't keep Kashrut, they don't keep Taras HaMishpacha. So they won't keep this din of Yerush either. What do I have to, if I can't get them to keep Shabbat, so I have to worry about this? That'll be their headache, it's not my headache. This is the Shabbat that we discussed. So the first law should be the Ramban. The Ramban in the Sefer Mishnah says, yes, Akor ben Asnua Yakir, Lot is not Yishnam, Yakir is a mitzvah of Torah on his father. And if the boy says if he doesn't take care of it, the father doesn't take care, he violates the law, and if he does take care, there's an essay that he should take care of it, to see that the Yerusha goes to the proper person. The Choshen Mishpat quotes this, the Resh Peyalas, the Aleph, the Choshen quotes this, Ramban, and the Sheikh HaMitzvah, that it's a mitzvah will tell us on the father. But Yitz Kohanan didn't remember the Ramban. He didn't remember the Choshen. Rabbi Yeshiva Rebbe. He didn't remember the Ramban, didn't remember the Choshen. He was thinking on his own, what's the din? So he understood that there is no such din, that the father has a responsibility. He has a right in the Gemara, the father has no responsibility. So the Gemara asked the Baba Basta, Yakir, Lamali, why need a pasuk of Yakir? Wouldn't I know that it's the other to give over the fish line to this son? The Gemara goes on, Dabash Mokal, Yoyla, my host of the Gemara, what do you need Yakir for? So he asked on the Gemara, what do you mean, what do you need Yakir for? You need Yakir to say that the father has a responsibility to see to it that the poor should get the fish line. So he sees in the Gemara, that Yaakov is not a mitzvah. It's not lawful that the father has amanah. It's a statement. If a korban asur Yaakov, the father has the ability to give Yishnayim to the korban, but he doesn't have the responsibility to see to it that it goes to the korban. That's it. But then he discovers that the place goes to name of Ramban, that there is a din of Yaakov. It doesn't say him. He says Ramban is wrong. Ramban is wrong. It's against the Gemara, as it says himself here. So he also asked the Ramban against him. He says, the Ramban is wrong. But he says, the Ramban is right though. Even though he's wrong, he's right in Tamachet. He says, if the children don't keep Shabbos, they don't keep Kashrut, they don't keep Taras HaMishpacha. So what can I do? I can't break their heads, I can't break their arms. But as far as the Yerusha is concerned, that I can't break their arms. Well, I'll leave a will. I'll leave a will that will be recognized by the government, and the government will break their heads. The government will force them to give Mishnah. So he says, Lafusha Meisura, whenever anybody has the ability to prevent Bali Aver from doing Averis, he has the obligation to do so. Sometimes it's extremely uncomfortable. What are you going to go punching everybody in the face and slapping everybody, giving everybody catchy, stealing their, and taking away their money and twisting their arms? It's very uncomfortable. So the man, this old man is about to die, and his children are not holding to their house. So what can he do? What are you going to go fight with all those children? They're not going to listen to neighbor. But as far as the Tishnaim is concerned, father has the Koichai, to leave a secular will that should coincide, that should correspond to the laws of the Torah, that the children will not be stealing the Tishnayim from the court. So he says, the Rabban is wrong, but he's right. He's right in Tamachim, he's Tamachush and Yisurah. So he says, the father has the obligation to see to it that the court gets the Tishnayim. Now he has to be done. What exactly is the court entitled to as far as Tishnayim? Mora has a unique din that only applies to two parties of Yerusha. That is not life of the Ro'ikiv Amusa. That normally, let's say I die, so I have $1 million in the bank, so my children divide all the Yerusha. So I have sons and daughters, so the sons get all the Yerusha. So I have only daughters, so the daughters get fine. What happens is after I die, then I win a sweepstakes ticket, I win the Irish sweepstakes, or somebody owes me money and they only pay after I die, or I had government bonds, or I had bonds in a corporation, or I had money in a savings account, and it accrues interest after I die. So that's not called Luchzok. At the time of my death, I didn't have that, I didn't have a bailus on that yet. I didn't have the BN, but that's called Roi. I'm going to get it. I have a schus now to get that money. It's my tickets that won, and the sweepstakes and so on. And a lottery, whatever. So if I win a lottery ticket after I die, that also goes to be Yerusha to my children. Let's say the father dies after I die. The rich father dies after I die. So I yarshim the money to my father and it goes to Yerusha to my children. That's the halacha that the children get even ra'oi. They don't only get Muslim, they get ra'oi. There were two exceptions to the rule, but a Yairish doesn't get ra'oi, he only gets Muslim. The one exception to the rule is Bechor. And if Karnotu Pishnayim, Beroi Kiba Muslim. The Bechor only gets Pishnayim on Muhtar. He doesn't get Pishnayim on ra'oi. What's an example of ra'oi? So the Gemara has. The Gemara has two examples. One example is, at the time that I died, I had a field, and there were trees on the field, and it's the middle of the winter, nothing was growing. But after I died, Yoshim was in the Shiva, Shloshim, whatever, and then after a year down, whatever, after a couple of months, I decided they want to divide the whole Yerush. After I die, comes the springtime, comes the summer, and the apples start to grow on the tree. So there are bushels and bushels of apples. They take about bushels and bushels. Let's say, whatever, berries grow on the bushes. So whatever fruits grow, whatever berries grow, so they want to divide that too. So the halacha says that the Bechor is entitled to Shnayim only on what the father actually had at the time and his possession at the time of death. But the Peres that grow after the father died, the father didn't have at the time of death. The father didn't have it. So that's called Much, that's called Ra'ui. So the Bechor doesn't get, let's say I have five sons, and one of the Bechors, he divide all the Nachla into six portions, and he gets 2/6. And each one of the other four gets 1/6. Each one of the other four sons gets 1/6 of the Yerusha. When it comes to the apples that grow after I die, he doesn't get 2/6. You divide everything into five portions, and he gets 1/6. That's called Ra'ui. Or, after I die, then my rich uncle dies, and then I come to a big inheritance of millions of dollars, so the Torah also wants to get 2/6 of that, but Allah says, no, he only gets 1/5. That's also an example. Nichta d'abu d'abu. The grandfather dies after the father dies. So the father didn't have this moment, he didn't have Bible on this moment at the moment of his death, so the Torah is not a title for Krishna. What happens in another case? What happens if the father had, I had money while I was alive and I lent it out to other people, and they never got to pay me back the halvot until after I died, they come to the ocean and they say, what about halvot? What about Mubal Dishtar, Mubal Balteh? Is that considered Roy? Is that considered Mufa? So that's the Machlegis HaTanoi. And we pass him, Machlegis Rebbe, the Rabbanon, and Rabbi Basin Yeshnef, and we pass him that that's also called Ra'ui. That's not called Mufa. The Gemara suggests maybe there should be a Philip in Mubal Dishtar, Mubal Balteh. The Gemara rejects it. It doesn't make any difference. Even Mubal Dishtar is also, it doesn't make any difference whether the money was loaned to a Jew or to a non-Jew. One might have perhaps said it's far in one direction or the other. You might have said, in one direction, you could have said, well, if the money was loaned to a Jew, Mustamiya is secure that he's going to pay back. Money was loaned to a non-Jew, Ashafim Ligashav, and in Shaka, he may never pay back the money. So maybe that should be called Ra'ui. But the money that you loan to a Jew, Jerry's telling you after Abel, and Lady Abel causes the person to pay off the money, so maybe that should be considered Mufsa, so the Mara says, no, it doesn't make any difference. Or one might perhaps distinguish in the opposite direction, other Rishonim help. And Ram says, it's utterly ridiculous to distinguish in the opposite direction, but here, from there, is Niyashim help. One might perhaps want to distinguish in the opposite direction. You lend money to a Jew, that's called Ra'ui. Why? Because if he doesn't have to pay, what are you going to do? There's nothing you can do. But if you loan your money to a non-Jew, if he doesn't have money to pay, you can sell him as an eved. The Dinei Ha'goyim, you can sell a guy as a slave. The Dinei Yisrael, he can't. So it says that Imkabik Nevasa below the Chobo. The source of Darshan is that there's no debtor's prison. The person owes money. He doesn't have to pay. Only if he owes money because of his neighbor, he paid the Karen, then the income is made. Then you can sell him as an evidence. But if he owes money because of the halvor, because of mazik, because of chayvul b'chaver, because of anything else, then you cannot sell him as an evidence. But if a goy owes money, then it says in the Sefer Melachim, it says Hanosha b'alakachat v'shnei aladai, and Tosafot points out in Masechet Avot Zara. That's the way they used to be done. The dinei b'nei noyach, that if a person owes money, you have a right to sell him as an evidence. One might have perhaps argued the point and said that if I loan money to a Jew, they didn't pay back the debt until after I died, then it's collected. That's called Ra'ui. Because I really didn't have it. I wasn't so secure of collecting during my lifetime. But if I loan the money to a Nachri, I'm very secure of collecting. Even if he goes bankrupt, he doesn't have what to pay with, I'll be able to get the court, the Goyish court, to sell him as an Eved, and I'll collect my money. The Gemara says it doesn't make any difference whether the money was loaned to a Jew or to a non-Jew. It's considered Ra'ui, and the court does not get Mishnah. That's the Gemara. The dispute is in the Havamina. What was the Gemara's Havamina to distinguish between money loaned to a Jew as opposed to money loaned to a non-Jew? The Maskana is that it doesn't matter.
I don't think so. Not all of them, I don't think that it makes this into a Muslim. I don't think so.
Here, Rabbi Yitzchak Ahanan discusses the details of Ra'u Yid Muslim. What if I put money in a savings account? Well, a savings account doesn't mean that it's not a safe deposit vault, that the money is sitting there. The money's in a safe deposit vault, that's not Muslim. I don't have to hold it into my pillow. I have to stuff it into my mattress. Then it's called Muslim. I have safety deposit vault. It's called Roy. No. It's not Mr. Mashkin. The bank is watching over my money. But if I put the money in a savings account, not in a safety deposit vault, the money's not sitting there. What it means is that I loan the money to the bank. And the bank is making a fortune on the money. They're giving me a certain percentage, 5%, 10%, 15%, whatever percentage they give me. So it means that I loan money to the bank. So that's how it works. But the bank, even if it goes bankrupt, is insured by the FDIC. So maybe that's called mamish mukhtar. Or what if I have government bonds? I have a government bond. What should I have to say? The government is not going to pay back the money. The United States of America is not going to pay back the money. Maybe some little government may default, they may not pay. But if it's a normal government that's been there for 200 years or something, and they always pay all their money, and they don't have money to pay, so they print some more bills, and they're sure they're going to pay you. Not shayach that they're not going to pay you. But that's a shayach in Eretz Yehuda. Is that considered ra'oi or is that considered mukhtar? If it's government bonds, he doesn't speak about savings account which is federally insured, he talks about government bonds. So the shayach in the Shuvah Eretz Yehuda thought that the government owes money, what should I have to say that that's called ra'oi? Mamish mukhtar. What should I have to say they're not going to pay? So Eretz Yehuda says, no, it doesn't make any difference. Whenever it's a halvoah, and you didn't have the bailus on the money before you died, so that's considered roi, and the poor is not entitled to the kishna. The shayla that we pass like the shoyl, that we pass like the Eretz Yehuda. That's the shayla. So the Orach HaShulchan of Hoshe Mishpat thinks that we should pass in against the Eretz Yehuda. We should pass like the shoyl. That if it's a government bond, or even if it's federally insured, he talks about that also, federally insured, that should be considered as a mukhtar. I was told that Rav Moshe Feinstein also felt like that. That the government bonds or federally insured safe deposit savings accounts are also considered mukhtar. That's on it's in the Ma'amar Kaimut on page 3, Yer HaShulchan is this Yud Gimel, and Reish Ayin Ches writes like that. If it's Shtar Shel Hamelucha, if it's government bond, or Torah Shalach Haburit, Nehu Ashirim Shahamlucha Reva Badam, it's federally insured, savings account. He doesn't call the Nebu, he says there are those who say that it's called Yesh Mishaymer, that it's Roi, the Lay Nehiri Nishwal. He insists that it's Muslim. That's Rav Moshe, I was told, Tatma Jor HaShoah. And others hold not so. Others hold that it doesn't depend how easily accessible it is. Rav Moshe, they said, used to say like this, the amount of money that the man could have collected if he would have gone to the bank the day before he died, whatever money is, whatever interest is accumulated after he dies, that doesn't call Rahul. Whatever interest was accumulated before the man died, but just never collected, he never cashed in the bond, he never went to the bank to take out his money, so that money, Rav Moshe held, that's called Mukhtar, that's not called Roy, like the Orach HaShulchan. Another disagreement saying, no, but the money that's accumulated after the father dies, that's certainly called Roy, that's certainly not called Mukhtar. Of course, certainly not entitled to Pishnayim about that. In the Tshuvas Mata Levi, Rabbi Kohana discusses a new Einfach, like you brought up the possibility, maybe Naval HaMashkin should be considered like Muslim. He discusses maybe a Milvah Bishtar should be considered a Muslim. No, it says the Tereshim Shachana that it's not. Says, maybe that's only because Achirish Tereshim is only the Rabbanon, and Lotus Lopishnai, Matanei Kai Rachmoneh, and since there's no Achirish Tereshim in Atayre, so how can you give over Tereshim? It's considered Rahui as far as the Kor is concerned. But maybe if I have a shtar that they call in Shulchan Aruch a Mamrani, shtar that Mamrani I think is a Spanish word. It's not a Hebrew word. Mamrani means the moti ksav zeh, take to the bearer. I say, I owe you $100,000, don't say who you is. So whoever produces the shtar and has my signature, I have to pay him $100,000. But the Rishonim say that even a Mechir shtar, even if there's a Machleik, but the Mechir shtar is the right of the Rabbanon. Even if your Mechir shtar is only the Rabbanon, but if it's a shtar of a Mamrani, a moti ksav zeh, pay for the bearer of this document, $100,000, but then the Chirish Torah is their right. But Rabbi Tzuchonim wants to say, maybe if it's a Mamrani, maybe then you should say that it should be considered a Mugzok, maybe then it's not considered a Roy. So he thinks that that's not also not correct. Marachi says that's also not correct. Whenever it's a Chayi, it's considered Roy, it's not considered Mugzok. We mentioned there are two cases where there's no Din Yerushan Roy, it's only Din Yerushan Mukhtas. Normally, the Din is that the Yarsh and even Roy. The Morish gets the Kever, he wins his sweepstakes ticket to Kever, or he wins his lottery ticket to Kever, whatever, he gets the Yerush to Kever, Lahankala Yarsha, so he gives it over to Yerush to him. The two exceptions to the rule where Roy doesn't go to Yerusha are Tishnayim, the car doesn't get the extra share, doesn't get the extra portion. And the other exception to the rule is a Mishnah and Chayrus, a Gman Chayrus, on the afternoon, that in a Bal Yerusha Tishta B'Roi Kivan Mitzvah. Let's say the wife died, and the wife had her independent bank account for $1,000. After she died, the husband gets all Yerusha. After the wife died, then her father died. The father's a multimillionaire. The father dies, and he leaves no son, he only leaves daughters. And this daughter, she's the only daughter, she's one of many daughters, whatever. This daughter who just died, my wife had just died, now her father died, now she yarshins the kever, has $1 million, so does the husband take it off or not? The Gemara says, no, ain't Oisha, ain't a Baal, Yerush et Ishtai, V'roi kibamut. The Baal doesn't get, nichta de'avu de'av. Yeah, because that's a pasha as well, because after the wife died, they're not married anymore. There's no sheris laha mitzvah. That's simple. They're not married anymore. But they're not married anymore. It's not Shas that he should be arshing her. So her Yerusha has to go back to her children. Is that the reason why? Because they're not married anymore. Or is it avor that it's roi? The nafkamina will be, what if it's a roi of halvor? Not a roi of nichta davu adavu. That the father-in-law dies after the wife dies. It's a roi. Let's say the woman had, this is the normal case, the woman has money in the savings account. A woman has money in a savings account, and then she remarries. That money belongs to her. It doesn't. You don't say how much you can't see, she can't buy it. The money remains the wife. And then the wife dies. So whatever jewelry she had in the house, whatever dresses she had, whatever the end she had, real estate, whatever the end she had, that goes to Yerusha to the husband. Whatever money was in the bank, shouldn't that be considered roi? You know, like a Moshe Pasen, like the Shoyal, like the Or HaShulchan Pasen, then it's called Muslim, no problem. But if you hold that money in the bank is also called money in a savings account, it's not money in a safety deposit, it's money in a savings account, and the money is not there. I loaned the money to the bank. The bank didn't pay me back the money yet. If you hold like the Nebi Yehudit Tzak, that all halvoros are considered roi, so what's the din by Habal Yerusha Tishka? Ain't a Bal Yerusha Tishta B'Kever, maybe that only goes a Nisra De'avua De'avo. If the wife had no clues at all on that money while she was married to the husband, if the wife died, there's no issues on her knees, of course the husband isn't going to get it. What if the wife had this clue? She had the right to collect this money from the bank. The only thing is that she just never got to collect. Maybe that's Beres HaKosu. The Pasuk is only written by Kor, that a Kor doesn't get Tishnayim B'Roi Kibamut. How do you know that a Baal doesn't get these shnayim b'roi k'mamutzah? The Tosfos has one day, because there's no ishus lahanitzah. Of course he doesn't get it. But if that's the reason why, if there's no ishus lahanitzah, there's no sheiros lahanitzah, then it shouldn't apply to things that the wife had exclusive to the chayeha. She had the money in the savings account. The chayeha. So maybe the din should be that a Baal, that kind of roi that the machleg is hatanayim by a milta, that the machleg rebbe in the rabbanon, even though we pass from the gabi of course that's called roi, maybe the gabi isha that's called mukha. That's a major dispute among the rishonim. The rimigash says that that's not called roi, even though it's called roi. The gabi of course is not considered roi. The gabi habal yerusha isha. The magen mishnah claims that the rambam holds like the rishonim. It's not clear in the rambam. And Mishnah, the Rambam claims that he's masking with the Rimagash. Usually he was masking, the Rambam says that he can't cop the Rimagash. He's right that he's such a super genius, he writes an introduction to the Pirishan Shah. Sichla Mavis Bechol HaTalmud, such a super genius, he can only cop him less than 10 places. He can show that he made a mistake. So usually the Rambam, Even when he didn't make a mistake, the Rambam sometimes disagreed with him, but you can't say that the Rimagash made a mistake. The Rambam disagreed with the Rimagash more than 10 places. He holds that less than 10 places you can prove that he's dead wrong. More than 10 places you can disagree with him. So the Shad is over here, does he agree or disagree? So the Pashtus is that we don't pass him like the Rambam, even if the Rambam agrees with Rimagash, Pashtus, we don't pass him like the Rambam, and he can't even say kingly. Even if the husband should be Tofei, so the Beis Shmuel writes on Ebenezer and the Simon of Haba Yerushis Ishtoi, whenever there's a Machloek Yisatosim and the Rav holds one remedy, is held the other way, and if somebody's Muktzah, and the one is Muktzah, is holding on to the money, and he says, kingly, I hold like the Miu Cheetah, so then the din is, they ain't hold from the Mamad Achara right. So since he's Muktzah, he claims I hold like the Miu, so he wins. So the Tosim have a Klal, and Simon Chalkein Kosh Mishnah, you can only say kingly Kahamuot, if at least two sheets is hold like that. But if you only have one place to hold like that, then his daito is bottom of the tail of the tail. Here, the Shmuel writes, even if the Rambam agrees with the Rimagash, that's not counted as two sheets. But whenever the Rambam agrees with the Rimagash, it wasn't an act of independent thinking. The Rimagash was his father's rev, and he is natural inclination would be to follow the Rimagash. That only counts as one sheet. Because you don't even have two sheets to hold like this. There's the Rimagash and the Rimagash. The Rimagash holds on that. So this sheet is totally ignored. This sheet is totally ignored. The din is that a Baal doesn't get Tishnayim, even by the Baal doesn't get the Yerusha and the Yishto, the Ra'ui, not only Nichta the Abu the Abba, even Lilza he also doesn't get. So, Magia Laloche, Ramoshe, with the Yorah HaShulchan's not looking to another Yehuda, where the money in the bank are government bonds, are considered Roya Mukhzor, or the money in the savings account that's federally insured, that's a major shayla. That's usually going to be the case when the wife dies and the husband wants the arshin, so she has a little jewelry, okay, that the Baal is going to get, but the major real estate she has is going to get also, dresses that she has is going to get also, but the major thing is going to be the money in the bank account that she has. So Rav HaPasim holds that that's called, Rav HaPasim holds that a Baal doesn't get, the Roy Kanam doesn't even apply to Milza. That's going to be a major machlokes. Is that called Milza or is that called Mukta? And Moshe and Rosh Hashanah hold that that's called Mukta. And the Rebbe holds not that that's called Milta. And Milta is called Rosh. It's very Negev Laloch. It's Negev Laloch. This Machloek is by the Kor Gerim Hishnayim. And by the Baal Yerush is Hishta. These are the Dinim Deraita regarding Yerush. That's if the man didn't leave any Tavra. The guy does, doesn't leave any will. What if the man leaves a will? Does he have a right to leave a will to tamper with the natural laws of Yerusha? So the Mishnah says here, the Mishnah Baba Basra Kuflam and Aleph, they won't Kuflam and Aleph and Aleph, and Baba Basra explain that we pass them like Rabbi Yudah ben Bezeir in the Mishnah, based on the passage that says, Ohayo b'yom ha'chilo ha'zvana b'yit ha'shigir Allah, what do you mean b'yom ha'chilo ha'zvana? When he's about to be manifold to his children, the man drops dead, so the Yerusha goes to the children. When he's going to commit suicide. I mean, Hanchilo is Bono. He's not mantel anything. A man dies in the Mela. Yerusha is immediately in the Mela. How does the Pasuk use the Lashon Hanchilo? So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, the name of Yudah ben Zer, Hatorah Nosh Nushus Lav Lahan to Lachomisha Yirtze. See, the Chumash gives the father the right to leave off the Yerusha, however he chooses to do so. But the Mishnah is limited a little bit. Not exactly, however he chooses to do so. He wants to leave money to Shi University, he wants to leave money to this one, to that one, to the other one. That's not called Yerusha. It means like this. If he has a lot of sons, and let's say he has 10 sons, one is a Pesorah, so he should really divide Yerusha into 11 portions, and the Pesorah should get to 11, and each one of the others should get 1/11. So the Torah says, no, the father can be a portion a little bit, and he can say, I want this guy to get one half of the Yerusha. I want that he should get one third of the Yerusha. He can rearrange the amount of the Yerusha. The Mishnah says, it's only if he says in the positive, not if he says in the negative. He says, I can't stand this son, I don't want him to get anything. So if you cut somebody out from the Yerusha, then it's not, then you don't say Hanchilo. I said, no, son of Shu's allowed to cut out from the Yerusha. You have to formulate, you have to word it in a positive fashion. Zenit Ploni Yipol Chatzi Hanachotim. Because Zenit Ploni Lo Yipol Shun Dover, Lo Yipol Klum, so then the Mishnah says that it's no good. But if he says it in the positive, Zenit Ploni Yipol, more than he should have gotten, so then he gets that full amount. He can tamper it even to the extent of taking away the 2/11 from the core. So the Gemara says, no. The Tishnayim of the core is secured. You can rearrange whatever you want. But the Torah is still going to get his Pishnaim. There is a machlekes in Tosfos, what does that mean exactly? That the Pishnaim of the Torah is secured. Means the 2 11 or the 1 11? The Pishnaim means the both halves? The Chelek HaPshitas and the Chelek HaPkoro? No, the Chelek HaPshitas of the Torah thing is my Chelek HaPshitas. Let's say the father has a daughter, the oldest child has a daughter. Let's say I have 6 daughters and 3 sons. The oldest child is a daughter, so the daughters are not going to get anything, unless I'll tamper with the Yerusha, we'll discuss in a minute. And the 3 sons are going to get each 1/3 of the Yerusha. When I die, I'm going to leave $3 million. So if I'm going to get $1 million, and Yami's going to get $1 million, Shai is going to get the other $1 million. So the... no one is at fault. So the, let's say I say, I want 2/3 of the Yerusha to go to Shai, and 1/3 of the Yerusha to go to Yami. And left that Yerushalayim. If I say, I don't want Yerushalayim to get anything, and then mainly the other two are going to get 50-50, so the Mishnah says that's not valid, and what I said doesn't count, and each one gets 1/3. But if I say I want some child, the second son should get 2/3, and the third son should get 1/3, I said the second son should get 50%, and the third son should get 50%. I just left out the first son. But if I say the Mishnah is then Gorav Kayav, then the Mishnah says that it's valid. So the chelek hapshita is of any pashu, the 1/3 share, can be taken away if I do it in the proper fashion, if I say in a positive way. But let's say the other case where I had 10 sons and Kor was entitled to 2 11ths. The 1 11th that he's entitled to as a pashu should be the same as the 1 11th that all the other pshutim are entitled to, that I am able to finagle. I can see whether it goes to another child if I say it in a positive fashion. I want this son to get the whole Yerusha. So just like the 1/11 that the others get can be removed, so for the 1/11 that the Kor gets should be able to be removed. The only thing that shouldn't be able to be removed, perhaps, should be the Chelek HaKor, the 1/11 that he gets as a Kor, not the 1/11 that he gets as a Kosher. Another person say no. It's strange. It's a machlokes between the Bach and the Rashash. Machlokes HaKorin, Lahaloch, Aloch Lamayim. I forgot, the Muki Yosef says one way. I forgot, strange. They don't quote Rishonim, but they disagree with the Muki Yosef. Shailam Sakalach, what the good is. If you made a Yerusha coin to the Dini HaTorah, I'd say...
If that was not in line at all, that I want the stock organization to do. If you are not in line with that, that cannot be based on the Dini HaTorah Tavua. The more further limits the Dini Tavua. And the Gemara says, that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah limits the Torah of Rabbi Yudah, and the same thing, the Torah of the Shul, the Ham, the Ham, the Yudah, is only if this child is in line, if this individual is not going to be exactly whatever, if I want to get something, then I can think that he gets more than he should have normally got. But if he's not lying to get anything, then it's not included in the din of the Tavor, the good direction. The Gemara has another further limitation. Since the Chumash speaks of the Yom HaTila as one of them, on the day that he makes the Tavor, it sounds like he cannot make a Tavor when he's 25 years old. You can only make the Tavor when he is a Shlimer. Normally we say that Divya Shlimer at Yitzhuz and Tzun only the Tachon of the Rabban, the Kadesh is for a bride or other, but we know the Kol the Tikkun Rabban came the right of Tikkun, so must be fat enough to come in the right, what to do the right. You really have to do the right so that it makes a difference between the person is a Shlimer or not, not a person. The person is the right, you do the right, the person is a different, the person means one in whom the death process has already set in. The Rambam definition of Kirshan Shah, the Rambam Feinstein, writes also, he doesn't go to Kirshan Shah, he writes that also, that death is a process, it's not one thing second. Death is a process, a few things have to happen that the process should be completed. And when the process begins, that's called the ghost. The process ends, then it's called the next. So what is the right? It is the right. That really have a, this is the right, that there is an option, Shtemirah just means, one of the end of the second time. That's not everything that is definitely different. A man has a throat, a man has a big problem, he's not sure, that's called a shkira. If the guy, which I have a big problem on any bed, and I say that they should give so much money to so-and-so, and then they want to get better. You know, so I'm not afraid of it, so I get better. So there's no time on the rabbon, so if I was sick, laying in bed, I say I'd like to give $1,000 to Tony, I'd like to give it to Tony, and then I die. Not all right, so then he did it at his place, and he was saying, even though I wasn't definitely sick, I was just going to shave me off. If I'm a threat, but maybe shave me off, it doesn't have to be definitely sick, but you shave me off. He may have been afraid of it. And they told Yankee, that Yankee was sick, so the fact that he was going to have a little shave me. She's not just using a particular thing. But there is a din. All the people are going to be right. There is a din there, right? There is a din there, right? That depends on Hashem. What is that din there, right? This din, that's what it says in the Old Testament, put from an hour to an hour. This addition, put from an hour, which comes from this every day, we say, I don't have my shoes and have lunch. I'm a condition here today that I can say I want Yami to get 2/3, and I want Shai to get 1/3, I want Yami and Shai to divide 50-50, and I just need that, and I'm going to carry it. That in the right, it doesn't work if I say it to them. I have to be measured down and get 6. Then you can do it. The Yom HaShiva is one, and the day I'm holding by the end. Now, go to it, and I'm sitting down and sleeping there. But that doesn't apply today. So she will wait for the sleeping there. What focus does any good have in the person that's sick? Or he should only be able to change the world of Kusha if he's going to make such a statement. He wants 20 years from the past. If that 20 is being with Abraham or Bar with Abraham, the person is the one to get the Kusha. I want them to get more than they're entitled to, and I make this declaration at the time that I already have a Shema. At least today, finagle the world of Kusha much more than that. In fact, in the Sefer, Taiva Rabban Mishmer Shalom, which contains all the buildings and veils alphabetically arranged, here in my repayment, you don't have a number, so it's right after the Yoram HaShulchan. However, Rav Mishmer Shalom has all the buildings and veils alphabetically arranged off the alphabet, and the gigantic Yoseh, it seems that it appears in the back of the good service. It's invited to set the stage, which is very useful stage. And it was a big practice, as I have come from my mayor's sister, from my kind teacher, from other girls, he himself is a famous one. He wrote the Mishmer Shalom, which is a running commentary on the people's garden on the Yoseh. People today don't know people's garden. Years ago in Europe, I had a very clean bread. You know, clean bread, couldn't get anything. A lot of times, clean bread is very weak. You don't know what the world is talking about. You have to use the missionary shop. And the native once said over the name of his father and comes to bread. You have a right to pass him against the clean bread, but you're not going to pass him without looking at the clean bread. Whoever passes him without looking at the clean bread is the status of the pay of the tradition. First look and then decide whether you agree or you don't. I think anything is new. I think anything is new. Yes, but you guys have learned very well. You know, you have to come up. So yes, then how do you pass to what's your power to the negative and what's your power to the negative? I'm trying to see this. And if you've got them, how do you pass? This is how it comes from. To tell you the truth, I always personally like the flower of the derech I'm trying to do. So he gives you all the data that they see as practice. So if you've got all these rights by talking. Kind of Rabbi Mishmer Shalom and Hilchot Dali Nidin, all copy out of it. Very useful say for the both extremely motivated and tedious. And he both taught me from a kind of risk of asking for it. And I may have been talking about this time. Of course, I'm showing you the Afrainim is very good. And he quotes in Afrainim that the prophet thinks that the person should never come up when he reaches the age of 50. Shnata Yovel has also shoot the issue of the doctor when the person reaches Shnata Yovel and he reaches the age of 50. You should start thinking about returning back to his maker. In Kiddush Mishnah HaKamishim, both in Oit and Simon, you can number your dollars on the letter Tzadik. Every letter he starts numbering again. The letter Tzadik, he starts dollar base, and he gets to the letter Yud Aleph, and Yud Aleph, he says, when the person reaches the age of 50, you should make him a God. I think someone told me that my Rabbi Gif, to reach the age of 50, he said, make him a God, you should go to a petrified. Not what Rabbi Gif is doing. So, got so scared. Why are you making it that way? Why did you think he's gonna die? That was a long time ago. She did not. I told her that's what it says in the Talmud. The first reason is the first to make it up. That's just part of what it says in the Talmud. When a guy reaches the age of 50, he's not a shleidera. He's walking around talking. There is no focus at all in the Talmud that he's gonna make. So what good is it that he makes this Talmud? So there's a lot of most of the times he ran this. That's only a deal with the Rabbon. This is the kind of thing whatever person is saying, they have to die, then he says, this is the kind of thing, whatever person is saying, while he's alive, he'll be thinking to get with my money, after I die, give this money to this one, give this money to that one, sell off, this is the kind of thing. So he says, that's a retail book, right? So I can make a couple of the 8 to 50. Leave a will, the only thing is, if Taitis in eating that you did on the end of our batch, the Taitis has loved this cash. It's something that made. It's an easy thing. You just say, let's try dry. You're not going to do this and that, the other thing is all fine. It's not so complicated anymore. And if you say it's harder, that this is something that made, it's not so simple. It's not the universe. There must be some limitations. But what could these limitations possibly be? The Taitis quotes one version of the Rabbi Nathan, and then he quoted around six answers to all the cash. And one answer given by the Rabbi Nathan was, and this is a captive that makes only five kishavushlosh mitzilim the yashavush mishen kar. Not that at the age of 50 I need a mill, I need a tazor. At the age of 50 I take out $1 million from my pocket and I give it to you. And I say, in the event that I die, you should hand this money over to my third cousin. I give money over, kishavushlosh mitzilim kar. Not the money is in the bank. And I send the letter to the money in the bank, they should accumulate interest to me. Then I send the letter to the bank, in the event that I die, I give the money to my third cousin. No, the money was put in the bank for me. Bushlash was here in the past. The money is held by a third party, a shavish, and I gave it over to the third party to Shane Kapp. With the instructions that after I die, if it's still in my pocket, in my house, I say, after I die, I give the watch to him, and give the gemara to him, and give the shavuot to him. That's not bushlash at all. And if it happens to be the Yachari, but it wasn't given, we'll have to deal with the Shane Kapp. So, but again, has to be hushless and civil. And then Tyson gives many other answers. There's quite a few answers in Tyson. There are just some problems in other ones. There's one version of this, some of the other ones. And we shall come up with Hoshi Mishma passed with this version of the Ramadan Sunday. The only time we say, this is a Catholic Rabbi, too, is if it's hushless and civil. Otherwise, the whole deal doesn't apply. So, the Binyan Zion. In the second case, in the Chuvah Tachadosh, in the Chuvah Tachadosh, there are many other things that are impossible. The things that the Shekhinah Shekhinah said that, he said, if the Shekhinah only says that, he struck it. He struck it. If it's not Hushlash Mitzil in the Chuvah, because it's, I need to start at the age of 50. And after I die, my children are holding on to the money. And the yeshiva, let's say, my first cousin said that he said when he was 50 years old that he wants to leave me $1 million so I should establish my own yeshiva. And my children say, sorry, we're holding on to the money, but we're Muslim, and there's a Makarikis in places. And this is one opinion that the only time you'll find this in Kandy Ramayas is the first person to see the car. We say, Kindly, we hold like that cheaper, so therefore we're not going to give you the money. And that's the Yerushim, I'm not holding out the money, that's the money in the bank. And I said, I want to give $1 million to Tony to establish yeshiva. And then I dropped in. And Tony is not holding out the money. My Yerushim, I'm not holding out the money. Whoever's going to want to get the money, whoever's going to want to win, either the 3,000 or my Yerushim, we're going to have to go to court and have to get the money out from the bank. So then, the video came to me, he thinks that he will pass them into the kind of government. He's not accomplishing this, he's not passing. Think that that's only a fake of the dina, the Shulchan only says in English, if the other guy is a Muslim, then he could say, I'm not going to give it to you because it wasn't a Muslim. But if you want, none of the party is a Muslim, he thinks you should pass it that you don't need a Muslim. That's the question whether that's so. The Pashtun and the Shulchan are certainly not so. Of course, none of that friend is going to be like that. Of course, never going to be like that. Is there any other way? Have it done more about it. Chaim Oizer in his Ahayenu and Chuvah writes that he knows the wonder. What's the idea of Bushlash Mitzil in the Kaab? Bushlash Mitzil in the Kaab means if I gave you the $1 million and I said in the event that I die, you give this money over to 20. Oh, die, I always reserve the right to the money back. Then that I die, you give it to 20. So why is it that the Bushlash Mitzil in the Kaab then you say this is a kind of amazing that is any security? It's so positive, my Yoshin doesn't have access to the money. The Shomish, the third party has access to the money. I'm Isaac Rice in his tutor, he was always wondering maybe if a person makes a secular will that the court will honor, maybe that has the same status as Bushlash Mitzil in the Kaab, even though he doesn't give the money over to the government or to the lawyer, Bishat Meister, he's not handing the money over to the bank or anything. All the money is in his bank account. There was no transferring of, no handing over the money. But when you write a secular will, if the government will honor, that's being to it, making it very secure, then what you said will be taken care of. Even the other than Hoshish Mitzvah, the government will not give it to anybody other than the one who is designated by it. Maybe that should have the bid of Mitzvah Kandivya Mitzvah. Maybe that's called Hoshish Mitzvah. He's right. He always used to wonder about that, and he's not sure. He doesn't think. He doesn't think of it. He just makes one exception to the rule for the United States. He says, this time you are telling the person to that, but I did not mean this if you say that you want to give money to the doctor,
Yeah.
Zayin Gretna points out, what if I left the secular will? And they left the secular force, who enforced the will. Even if I'm what Al-Khaimaita wrote in his familiar collection of matters of future fear in the Akhidahs of the Al-Khaimaita substances, that the secular will should have the same status as Nikhil Khaimaita by pushing from King of the Kaaf, but it's not Nikhil automatically. Al-Khaimaita wrote the Akhidahs of the leadership basis, has to be done under the auspices of a proper basis, that the money should be given over to the Khaimaita, and says that the Akhidahs of is still not Nikhil to the other Kaaf. So the Russians still can have a time that they want. You have to see to it that the secular will is brought up to a desert. So Israel, they should award the money to the place. I told my son taking care of my husband, they want it. I don't know, that's very strange. The first thing I understand, that the Muslim Khalil makes not mix in the yard, so he makes the kingdom. And it's not proper to go to the secular court. You have to pay that to the secular court. That I understand also. The secular court gave the same stock as the same to Israel. You say that it should be better, but the same to Israel not the same thing anyway. Why should you say that he has no right to the same thing? That's what he understood. That's what Zayin Gretna understood from Chaim Eisen's children. Right. But he's one of the Tushlash. Let's say I gave him $1 million, I gave Bobby $1 million, and I said, here's the event that I thought you'd give this to Pointy, he's interested in making a yeshiva. After I die, he has to give it to Pointy. What he doesn't give it to Pointy, I give it to my children. And then Rav Chaim Moses asked him, it's not available by my children, they can keep it. Because Pointy wasn't coming at the meeting. This is not a special thing that is taken from the other kidney. At the moment of my death, it's mixed with Pointy. It means if he has a mix with the country, I'm going to give it to them. When he will give it to them, then they will be kind. And if he gives it to them, then we can stop my dog and give it my dog. So if he doesn't know it's listening, he gives it to my Yorsha. And they were not, by then it wasn't Bush Mishmi sitting in the cabinet, he doesn't have it anymore. So the whole support will fall apart. So that's part of our primary day understanding. Then he says, you have to have it taken care of by the Bush Mishmi as well. Now I've got to go to Gracious Court. Now I understand also. But then, Zayin Gross is understood from our primary day, only if it's taken care of properly by the Yorsha Court. Then he says that Pliny is coming. If it would be enforced by the secular court, then the Pliny will not be coming. That part is just a little weak. Why should that be so? The Yiddish court is going to say the same thing to the Yiddish court. You're going to give it to Pliny and you're going to tell him you have a right to be kind. I don't know, but that's what he understood. He said that even the Yiddish, the Pliny will not be coming. Once you're going to give it to Pliny, then there's no longer a mitzvah of Pliny around it, because the Shal is going to have it. Now Pliny is going to give it back to the Yiddish. The Yiddish will not believe to give it back to the Pliny, because they wouldn't push it by that. A little strange. Now, Moshe Feinstein has it true, but of all places in Chelek Ebenezer, here in the sheet of the Mamre Tanis, this is in the Lev Aryeh, it has on top page, group page Aleph, or even page 11. Page 11 of the Mamre Tanis. On the bottom of the second column, again, by the letter Beis, the stuff in the Aleph, the stuff in Aleph, you can see if you go to Moshe Chelek Ebenezer, see you group Aleph. Moshe Feinstein had a chapter of listeners. He's living on the following. When did he require a kinyonim? When he wants to change the ownership of cars on the following. When did the believer that? Then you have to have a mighty king. You have a right to yourself or a thousand. The believer ain't how make a nickname in verse. I'm just speaking and saying, I declare that the cars belongs to you, the cars belongs to you. You're not changing the verse. No, you have to make a mighty king. But what happened is it's such a strong demeanor as that. It's so obvious that the guy really wants to transfer the ownership of the property. Then there's no requirement for any money to do so. So the demeanor has it in various places. One of them is the employer, the Rashash. I think it's Rafi Zayin, if I'm not mistaken. Rashash and Chorus connects a few of them are famous. And if you look at Chazanish and Chorus and Shemishbet, he quotes from his father. So I'll also be somewhat. And this goes to his father, that his father collected a lot of sources in the Gemara. And heaven is a very strong influence, but the guy wants to be not his son. The Gemara can be in there without any need for an actual Mighty King. Alright, very straight to the Gemara. Good. So, Moshe Feinstein says it. Now, then Moshe says, they make a will which can be enforced in the secular court. And the whole thing is better than his will. He made it so clear. So, his lawyer had the witness to sign the will, didn't I live? I live through the testament. A strong income that he wants to give over his property to him. He was such a strong, such a strong, near as that, that's what he wants. And Moshe says there's no need for my tikkunim. Even if he's doing it in total strangers, not giving baby on my bunch, I'm not giving it to outside it. Not related at all. It's a strong, such a strong result that there's no need for my tikkunim in that moment. I would have to give it to the R, giving Rahamisha. Nor has the thought, hey, giving Rahamisha. The Rosh comes up with a Yiddish, and he says, no, when you say, hey, giving Rahamisha, that's if I say, I want you to be making the real say, on proof. I give you a star, and say, I want the star to be trained at the house for you on proof. And I die, I'm trying to test it. But by the time it comes for him, the real estate no longer wants me. I die before he's not. And then another says, they kill the Lahamisa, because the king is supposed to take effect after I die, I don't own the property anymore. And not about us, I can make a king in Lahamisa, because I'm a violent now on the property, and could be a violent. It's going to come, the young Lama, make a king in Lahamisa, I rebate and still owe it, and rebate rage. If I make a king in Lahamisa, and I die before I was that man, then I'm going to say, king in Lahamisa. But, I know she says, if I make a king, I bequeath my property, I want it to go to the dwelling place, and I made it in such a way, I made a will in such a way that the government will absolutely take it and enforce it. Even though the mirror is out to the other minister, even though it's a king, like I need to help my love the life I wanted, but what I want is, it's a moment that I am no longer a violent destroyer. The first time it's mine, I want it to belong to me, but it can no longer belong to me because I'm not alive anymore, then it should belong to you. She's the fact that's not called making a king. You know, this is only day the fourth. It would be my ownership in your ownership. But the word directly is not that. The guy brought my findings against me, and it seems to be on page 12, it seems to be against me. My quote, Akam Lashonah. Why did Ramashi say this? He says because, on page 12, the end of the cap tower. The Zero Tan Gog, Ramashi Barati Seilu, Nagim Yitzhu Halsambor Seilu, all the most observant people make secular rules. And no one ever does it according to the way it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Nothing is valid. Eight verses in the Lincoln Hamorah to Shulchan Aruch is no problem. He says, the territory of the Chavon of that is the main of the region, any main hand the Jewish people figured out, and that's not all. That there is no need for a mighty kingdom because it's such a strong leader of God, and it's not called the kingdom of Hamid because it goes directly to lead to it. So Dan Grossler's time is in section A, it's in Kodi Vagon, so you can deal with no problem. They quote, the very Shulchan Aruch there is no problem. It's similar to one. The ain't king of Ahamisa doesn't only apply if I want to be fed in June and I'm already dead before June 5. I want to be fed at the second and I die. It's the same thing for the king. He says he can't agree with Moshe and then he goes to discuss his father and Moshe about the maybe she needed to become his Ahamis, about the rocket it is. And to a private person, Ahamis is not sure. Then he made a letter and he sent it in the private. Ahamis says that it is good, but then he only adds on that it has to be done on the Bezbud. And then he wrote the that it has to be proven that if it's done under the auspices, if the money came the wrong under the supervision of the secular court, then I might have been for all the big people the other is not caught. So none of this works. None of this works. How did the person make it so work? So there are more in, So the Lord has Mishka Resh Payal of Sid Zion writes that the fact is always brought to many, many generations that when a man, let's say, dies at least 5 times 5 water, and he don't just give the illusion to the 5 times he uses water that is teaching him with nothing. Maybe that's where it was in the days of the Pharaoh, the days of the Gemara, but in the days of the late Rishayim of the early Achenna, really, they always used to leave money to the dirty. How did they leave money to the dirty? They didn't give over the money, what was the wish to do with the cash, and they couldn't make a tabor, they wanted to shit their eyes, and cost them up and bottom, they didn't want any wishes, and do their right to care work, they had to go to work. And more right to get to do this, to be with Chinese now. They make it in silence, that's what the guy thinks, and at the time that he's going to die, he has 5 times 5 goods, the time he's going to die, he's going to have $10 million. They want each one of the children to get equally $1 million to make the kitchen. So you make, let's say, the daughter gives you, you have to have the Kalash of Kainas. The daughter gives him a plea, in exchange for which the Shavans have to give that daughter $1 million. Another daughter gives him a plea, the Shavans have to give that daughter $1 million. Very distasteful. The daughter should give the father a plea, and they continue, I owe you $1 million, and you should be collected after I die. She do it with a lawyer. Based on Gopal Yom Shlazifah. Either Halam has to be the Kalash of Kainas, either the Kalash of Kainas, the Kalash of a lawyer, the Taisha says we didn't have a Tnaini at first. That is something more so that we didn't care if we didn't have a Tnaini. And someone else gives me money, the way that you should be paying the karka. Not only is Kesef paying the karka in the care gives the Kesef, the third party should care on the end, but the Kesef is also good. That's called Tukin Abbas Mani. So the Abbas Mani is there to the Shikh where I take Kesef. And more than what Kesef, that's where they ask, no. Ashur Khan has a kind of rabbi, as you have a kind of money, he's Kesef where they are fair, and someone else gives money. Not only is that a dim, Shikh where I take 90, after that it's also that if you pay the Abbas Mani, I take Kesef, if you do a call it, that's good, and everything is good. There is an institution of that Chazot in the way point that they didn't work for King Halitha. But Halitha also, if the Gemara says that they had the practice throughout the Kadim, they were not in the Kashim of the Kadim, they were the aid of it to give the Siddur, not the Mokea. I didn't require the Kaleb Shalchani, the Kaleb Shalchia. The answer is yes, but the Siddur, they work with the Kadim. They represent not one Shalchani, they represent the Mokea. He wrote that they represent the daughter, and they did equally just put the Siddur who was given her up. They have to speak to the daughters about it. It's a very disabled thing. In the event that I die, I'm going to give you the right to get $1 million or something. So you tell it to the boy, half of a Jewish boy. The boy should know it. He can't be telling on the hands of his daughter. He didn't have a plan. He's got one. So you have only those Taibis. You have to have some Jewish person to make this piece. The boy, the way they make it is Taibis. What if the word leaks out and the daughter finds out that they have the right to collect $1 million? What if they don't get along with the cops? They won't be able to hold them up. Be able to take all of his money now. His daughter will come and demand, you owe me $1 million. His father has to be careful to say, I obligate myself to give my daughter $1 million, but it shouldn't be collectible right now. It should be collectible now, so they may think to do it. And that's interesting. Good. He can perceive that even he sees in the future, the Philly day is not going to have any price for the daughter. You never tell. But there are more recommended that you shouldn't make it, guys, that I obligate myself, I owe each one of my daughters $1 million. No. You should owe them the daughter now. You should owe them the money now, and it should be collectible lahamid. Collectible lahamid is like this, it's like saying anking of lahamid. They should be collectible shah as president. They should have the right to collect the money the day before I die. So why do you have to make such a longer day than that? I owe each one of my five daughters $1 million. As of now, it should be collectible the day before I die. Say, I obligate myself as of the day before I die that I should owe each one of the daughters $1 million each. So the Ramura says that that's no good, that's called pain bread. Whenever you make a kinyan, whenever you make a halos on something, and the nature of the halos is unclear. I'm telling you a house that I don't know yet which house, whether this house or that house. I'll make up my mind tomorrow. I'm going to make my mind tomorrow, but it's going to be nicknamed today. If the tax person is not the cemetery person has to sell one of the houses for tax purposes. If he didn't see find yet which house he's selling, the house is part of the house in New York. Because it's brought later, that's a violation of the people of Ain Brayer. You gotta have a halos now, if the nature of the halos is unclear, you don't know which house is not being trained. The Gemara says not only that true, if you don't know which house is being trained, you don't know what the halos is being called on, you see on what is being called on. So at the time of that, at the moment of the halos, you didn't realize it was being called. You will only know retroactively. And say, I want this teaching to take effect, and the day before I go. We don't know when the day is that he goes off. After he dies, then we can ascertain that the next 24 hours ago was the day before he dies. The Gemara says, if I give my wife a gift, I say, this gift should be chal, Arish Chodesh, other, Arish Chodesh. So the gift should be chal the day before I die. So you only know later that it was chal yesterday. So the Gemara says, that's no good. That's called in there. So the Ramah says, if you make it, the lawyer gives you the secret. And you're obligated. You think you're going to have $10 million the day you die, and you want each one of the children to get $1 million each, so all the time in the door is everybody getting equal. But you say that, I obligate, you know, you give one to them, say, I obligate myself to give each one of my five daughters, I obligate myself as of the day before I die to give each one of my daughters $1 million. And the Ramah says it's not count. Zero. It's not count at all. Why? Because then rare, because the practice is count the day before you die. We won't know what that is until after you die, then it'll be ascertained retroactively, that's not done. What you have to say is, I obligate myself, I actually, to each one of the five daughters, $1 million, but the right to collect should only be the day before I die. And that's solved that problem of the, I want to say on that day, for the right to collect. Since it was in Ruvura 24 hours before I died that she had the right to collect, it's only going to be Ruvura later, after I die, how should I collect it? The day before he got 24 hours before. if they also ate grapes, did they have an appetite to collect? Despite there was an abstract code that I yelled each one of the daughters and women by it, and none of them had the right to collect because the phone was dark and not red. So the rabbi now to address that issue. He says he's going to make the sheboard. Shah has said in the first year, no, we have to make the sheboard in the Ashur, but the truth is me, it should be Shah. How did he stop the problem? Still the problem was angry. And some of the answer is based on the rotten majority of the rotten hay. Rotten hay is the gigantic ground of Perik HaShivsin. The long ground beginning of Perik HaShivsin. When he deals with the issue of murder, the only thing angry on the basic part of the Havoy. I don't know whether I'm being mocked in this house or that house. In fact, I have to get rid of a house here. I don't know whether I'm going to be getting mocked in this house or that house. I'll start with the next week, which was, and I want the kids to be how like that. So the whole nature of the kingdom is unclear, whether this house or that house, it doesn't say angry. But if you don't know when this man, how kingdom is, he's going to be fouled. The Shah especially says that you don't know when that's going to be, but long he determines later upon the Shah especially tells you what. And in return, the nature of the Hamas, you try to do that to the Ruach, and you're not a holy mother. But if the Shebrew is probably actually just a specific deal, that's one aspect of the Shebrew. One might argue the point that's not one little aspect, that's the main aspect of the Shebrew. What good is it that if I owe you money, if you have no right to collect, not a major title, I don't know if it's a major title. But the Ram, the Torah says that it's a major aspect of the Hamas is on the board. It's only some slight little detail, and it works. They also give you slight little detail, but that's a pretty major detail. They did not, but if that's only a detail, it's only a detail that's made in the word, so then on that you can say Yeshbeir. You only say Yeshbeir is the Ikorim of the Haloi. I'm not in the word of the Shaykh. The side issues have to be in the Baral later, as you're acting as an individual. But finally, that's the Ramah Hope, and he says that that's always a practice. Then when the one can leave money to the daughters, they have to obligate themselves to assume, either to a fixed amount of money, to assume $1 million, or, how does he know how much money he's going to have? Now I have $10 million and I have 10 children, each child is going to get $1 million. By the time I die, I plan to be around for another 70 years. And maybe as a child, I'm going to be allowed to have one car. By the time I die, I have $100 million, I have $1 million. How does he know how much money he's going to have? So there are more ads that they used to be inside of the first thing, and the exact amount of money, you think that there may be more money, there may be less money. How do you know how much? So these Stephen Shabbos themselves, without saying a specific amount, so they would say, I want to be Shabbos myself to my daughter in such an amount of money that each one of the daughters should get kechatzi zocha, as if she were a half a son. If you want, you can give each daughter equal to the son. I'm giving a Rosh, I have 10 children, each one's going to get $1 million. Each daughter is getting the same as the son. So they do that on more, in practice, because they treated a daughter as a half a son. They have to figure out how much money the guy has at the time of death, treat each two daughters as if they were one son, and divide accordingly. That's called the star chatzi zocha, and they're treating each one of the daughters as if she were a half a son. On the amount of money, yeah. I don't know. Somehow he's not worried about that. Right. If he's machne, if I'm machne as of this minute, $1 million worth of my property, I don't have that much money, so that's the dollar slope all we own. You can't do that. But if I'm a shop myself, this is the first place that you pay a capital for you. A Shiva Mountain gets married, and he gives his wife a stupid. And he obligates the set, he pays his wife $25,000 a stupid. He doesn't have to pay anything today. At the end of the cotton day, at the end of the night, I'll have $5,000. I'm not going to have $25,000. That's a dollar slope all we own. So Satan's good, Satan gives two tereuthim on that. So the jail, we accept the Sarah, if the reason is to be a double portion, so Satan gives two days, and I'm not hip near Shane to the grid. The jail, we accept the Sarah, is that I am born Loyola. When I am the Shabbat myself, the Shiva Azur, I am born Loyola. I obligate myself to give the world, in the event of divorce, to get $25,000. I don't have to have $25,000 worth of that. It's here also. The father is the shy of how much money he's going to have at the time that he dies. $10 million, 10 children, is the shadow son of each $1 million. Why he doesn't have the $10 million yet. Now he only has $9 million. It doesn't matter. If it's the shadow himself. The shadow himself. He is the double Shikovia. He has the ability to be the shadow himself. But the Ramor has interest in that, but he won't have the Ramor says this can even work if he doesn't designate a fixed amount. He says, I'm just hire myself to give my daughter and make the kingdom sooner. The lawyer gives him a plea and exchange which he's not to the daughter. His private of money. He's in charge of stuff to each daughter. He doesn't say a fixed amount of money. He says half the amount that each son will provide. Half the head of that. And so that I have a resident, head of that. Half the head of that. This is a big thing. Start half the head of that. It shouldn't. Start half the head of that. That's long bits of truth there. There's all the details. This is a big issue years ago. You have to learn how much the lots of DNA terror that is, how to calculate the cost of things. This time you have to find out how much better. I know exactly why. The other pieces of this are deeper, deeper. The Rambam says one cannot be close to the Rambam, that if a person is Mishabed himself to a Kum Shein a Patu, the Horu Rabbah said that that's called Asma. The family has bounds. I'm Mishabed myself to give the daughter within how much I will have. It has bounds, it has a range. It must be a percentage of what I have. And look, it seems totally wild. And look, it's good. I'm Mishabed myself to feed you and walk you for the rest of your life. Who knows how much, who knows how long you're going to live, who knows how much it's going to cost. It's like a medical school, but of course the food don't even know. Yeah, but the rates go up all the time in medical school. Everything keeps on going up. So you never know how much it's going to be. But here, Mamish has a job. It's going to be a certain percentage of my usage. It's a good question. In many, many communities, like Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, the practice was that the Jews did not do what the Rambam said they should be making yarn and the privacy and so on. The practice was that they just made a secular little apartment. Rav Moshe says, and he gives this whole explanation that a kinyan doesn't need a mighty kinyan, that everyone is from the near and not, and there's not kinyan on Hanisah, so they go directly open to find growth and things is not correct. In other communities, they have a Hezbo law. Even the Mapu Kadina, they have a Hezbo law work. We follow the law of the land. In the Chivas Maharit Aharon, who is a young contemporary of the Beit Yosef, he writes that this is totally incorrect. That even Mapu Kadina doesn't apply in the area of Yerusha, it only applies in the situation where one of the two parties involved is a guy. But if both parties involved is Jewish, that's an application whatsoever. Furthermore, the Rabbi Shimon points out in that Shuvah that making a Chachamah that the son and the daughter should get together, the Rambam writes that Jewish is not only considered a matter of Dinim Amrit, it's also considered a matter of Yitzhak of the Hezbo. Even though it's only money, $1 million to who it is, but it says, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh in Syria, and to explain to them that the practice was incorrect. That the Dina Makhusha Dina doesn't apply. Because he spoke and he spoke and he didn't help. He could continue on the wrong way. It's difficult to say like a Moshe. He made a remain, and there were half an hour ending. The Marit Aharon says that they were all doing it wrong. The people just wrote from God in here. Then they hear in the neighborhood, whenever I would speak about the addition, I would give a shiur. And the Rabbis would always say, but Rabbi Boy never said anything for 40 years. At the time that Rabbi Boy came from 1940 to 1980, Rabbi Boy never said anything to him. They write that it's not so. They write that you don't have to do anything, you can follow the secular. So whenever I would ask Rabbi Boy anything, they would say no, it's not true, even though Rabbi Boy never said it publicly, and it's rightly, and you have a problem. This is one of the things that's never observed by the most religious Jews. They don't make the kingdom, they don't make the Kaiser, and they don't make the Kaiser. I'm not required. If a person wants, the wife is going to get the Yerusha anyway, but if you want the wife, the wife is going to get the Kaiser anyway. But if you want the wife to get the whole Yerusha, you can't just rely on secular law because it's Canadian. The children are not anything. If you want to tamper with the laws of Yerusha, you want to give and make a will not in accordance with the Dini HaTorah, you can't just make a secular law and rely on that. That's Canadian, that's it. You can't say that the Rambam never spoke about it. The Rambam didn't speak about it. They all said that's Canadian, that's it. What Rav Moshe said is very, very difficult. The king is nothing out of me. The Pashto said you have to do what the Rambam said. You have to make your Talmud in private, and then make your secular will. You should have the lawyer put this, write this up, and put this document together in his file with the secular will, so that if he intended, there's going to be a case later on. Someone's going to say that I'm not going to follow the secular law. They should have written that they made Kinyan, and it's not in accordance with the Rambam Kashi Mishpah. To be with another issue, maybe I'll just touch on it briefly. The issue of Ahuriya Hassan, the Gemara says in Yeshmach, you know, Suda says that if prophet to be modern Nachma, at least the Eastern draw Bisha with what Tavi, even if one son is more religious than the other, you're not going to take away the Eastern, I'm not one of your sons from the Eastern. We were discussing until now whether it will have a legal effect, whether it will have protest. But the Gemara has another principle that it's proper, at least it's to be modern Nachma. Even if you're not Nachma by giving everything away to Hegdish, it's not selfish. You want to think of it. You want to be the Yosef Ben-Yu-Ezer time. He was frowned upon by the other Tanoim because he had one son who was Rashi. And he gave all of his money away to the Beit HaMikdash. He did his money by Hashem. He gave all of his money away to the Beit HaMikdash. Millions and millions of dollars in order to punish his son. In order to be neutral, he shouldn't be punished his son. But what do you do with this? Are there any exceptions to the rule? Are there any cases when you are allowed to neutral? Moshe Feinstein discusses this in one of his tributes, and he says, look, even though the Gemara says you're not going to take away the drawer on page 8, even though the Gemara says you're not going to take away the drawer, Bisha, the drawer candidate, so there's long talent. He says the talent there, and he says, that's only if he's done at least is a Hashem Shabbat. He says, the guy, nice, or Shikta, he's not a Jewish girl, but he doesn't get a shul, he doesn't have, doesn't keep Shabbat, Kasha, 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 doesn't need a school, he's here education. One of the children's nights were, one of the grandchildren's nights are bright. He said, hey, he doesn't think that he's a Jewish girl, he's a Jewish girl. Children are totally nonsense, not tied up to their own Hadash. What is that? The person in the edge of the crowd upon. And he took away, and what he should leave, he wasn't such a good son, wasn't such an exactly good son. He didn't know he was watching everybody. Yeah. And he was a little business, Shabbat, he didn't keep all the deacon in the mission good. But if he violates everything, then now she doesn't need a Jewish life. Well, now I should think that there's no prohibition. Leaving out that case, one last one, leaving out that case that the child is totally non-observant, he's in a God, and I'm just happy to be in a God. He's so far out that he doesn't call. Leaving that out, what about the gift itself? So there is a big dispute in our brain because the Jewish case is in the Shemish word. They did it for the Chashmish for itself, not to be mad, not even the Zor Bisho and the Zor Tav. Because the Chuvah quotes in that writing, what are the Shiurim? What extent, what amount are you allowed to reach the Zor and so on? So the, I think have three opinions. If the Chuvah quotes, so it's a quote the Chuvah from the Gaidim, that if you need four Zuzim for each Yerish, then you rock it up and you're mad enough. Where the word is bigger for it, isn't that based on Mishnah 6? Have, so that within different, it works within Yerusha, not within Hatnoah, and Mishnah 6, it only works if you're not waiting for Yerusha there, right? If you're the open Gabi, then in Yerusha there, right? Then there's no Takandi Rabban, it's still within different. How much do they have to yard? How much do the children have to yard? And if you call Yerusha, so the Mishnah says 4 Zuzis. They get the Yerusha 4 Zuzis, then you want to wait for Yerusha there, right? They get less than 4 Zuzis, 4. $5, sir. Yes, $5. That's what he first wrote in the name of the Ayin, and he leaves it like that. I mentioned it in his truth, it's a happen and see. The Ayin of Satan, it's a happen and see, it's a against all of the Lord. You always look up the favors that the Lord is not enough. On the top of page 7, on the first column, chapter 6, of course, it says, and he says, happen and see, it's against all of the Lord. They just spend more money to Hegdash. He gave every penny to Hegdash. He gave him $10 and stuff. Once he left over some money from Hegdash, left over 4 Jews and Jews. He says, how can they say that the silly fund won't exactly understand what you're doing? The other part is that you have to leave more than 50% to the ocean. You can give up to 50% to stock and to others. You have to give slightly more than 50% to your ocean. That's what the Tishim Michal Tikhutinsky writes. He's saying that.